Ryan, do you notice anything different? I guess for audio listeners or YouTube, within my voice or within my physical form, do you notice anything different? Anything at all?
Well, yes, you got a nice, bright, big smile on your face.
That's true.
I mean, you can just feel it in the voice. You know, if I close my eyes, say something.
Hello.
I can see that smile, you know? but other than that, you know, with your video, I don't see Chicago behind you anymore.
Oh, that's true. Forgot about that. Yeah, that is different. I like to move my room around because when I was a kid, I used to come home from school and my mom would be like, I moved your room around. At first, I was like, what the heck? But it was always a nice thing to look forward to. Now it's a habit of mine, but that's not it.
Okay.
I should look swole as hell right now, man. You want to know why?
Did you just come back from the gym?
Oh, camera, focus. I know I'm really swole, camera, and it's hard to focus on me. No.
Got a six-pack.
Rather than
now?
Sitting on my butt all the time, doing literally nothing other than moving to get to the kitchen and back to my chair, I've been playing VR again.
Oh.
And I'm actually sore. That's how wow. sad it is.
I mean, it's good exercise, man. VR is good for your body. Good for what are you playing, though? What are you playing? Some sex games? So, or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, Sword and Sorcery, if that's what it's called?
Yeah, you're
something
right.
Something like that. That's always one of my favorites.
Sword and Sorcery, like I think, is a tabletop game.
Hold on.
You might be right, though.
It is called VR. Jumping here, got my Steam open. Blade and Sorcery.
Blade
got the
and
first
Sorcery.
One wrong. So that one's one I love to do it all. You know, I like using the rapier and going stab, stab. It's the easiest weapon to use in the game because they try to block you. And if you have tried to block a pointy thing, it just kind of slips through.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. When you first got VR, you were video calling with me. And I'm pretty sure you're playing this game and you slam your hand into the wall while you're trying to like stab somebody. And I can't really see the game because it's kind of lagging the way he's streaming it to me. So I just hear this big dunk. And he just like pulls his hand back. It did not sound fun. It sounded a little painful.
There may or may not. Oh, you're right. I destroyed my hand.
That was brutal.
Oh, I've completely forgot about that. The pain's coming back right now to me, but no, there's some marks on my walls right now. Don't tell anybody.
VR is dangerous, man. They should have it like where you
small
can
space.
Like put it in earbuds or something, and then it like makes a noise whenever you're like this close to a wall.
Well, we don't have to get into it, but they do have a chaperone system for Steam VR where you can physically see always. If you really need it, breaks immersion, but a barrier of where your wall, where your floor is. I get really immersed. I play D&D. I'm really good at RP, you know. Sure. I forget that I'm in a building 23 floors up in Chicago, and I might punch a hole in my window, and bad stuff might happen.
How good graphically does it look whenever you got it like this close to your face?
I mean, you can kind of see the space in between pixels. That's the limitation with VR right now. But with the Valve Index, it's like 120 FPS. My computer's a little chonker, so I can push it pretty often. But there's that screen
How
door
far
effect.
Do you
it's
think
still
it is? Because I'm waiting for the day that I can hop into VR, hop on a treadmill, and walk around, you know, actively kind of run. The treadmill starts moving with me. How long do you think we're at till we're going to be at that stage?
That exists. It's just incredibly clunky. To commercial use of that, probably like another 5 or 6 years.
That's
like
what I'm
until
waiting
it's
for.
Not enthusiast level. VR is still enthusiast level.
Like, yeah, there's not many
not quite.
Great games for it. There's a few top of the line, good ones, like Half-Life Alyx is probably up there. I'd say Beat Saber is a good experience for it. But there's not like, besides those, there's nothing that people like.
Boneworks is cool.
Boneworks. But there's nothing that people would be like, you know, like PS4, you got to get a Bloodborne for it. Wait, Bloodborne.
No, yeah, exactly. That's a very true
I mean,
statement.
There's no, like, I gotta play this game. But before Alyx came out, there definitely was not I need a VR system to play this game.
Yeah, it was more, I want to experience the novelty of VR, so I'm gonna, you know, take the plunge, which is what I did. And honestly, I'm the same as our good friend Kenneth, who you probably heard on our last episode about Mork Borg, a death metal?
Doom metal.
What is it?
Doom metal.
Doom metal RPG.
Great episode.
Go check that out if you're interested in that. But we can't work out unless there's like a thing. Like I would work out all the time if I was, you know, needing to beat some baddies, do like the natural working out. Sure. So VR kind of fills that up. Though it's all cardio because there's like no weights. You could rock lean, tie some weights to your arms.
That'd be
and stuff,
cool. But, especially like if you're holding a sword and like you put more weights on the shield arm, that's real immersion.
I get super sweaty, man. Like that headset is for me and no one else now because my sweat is in it.
Well, you've seen if you go to malls, there are those little VR booths that people have. Those just look like you are asking to catch some terrible disease.
Well, at least for the Index, I know you can take off the faceplate and wash it out or have mold. So they might have that. But otherwise, no thanks. Definitely not during this pandemic right now. Not happening.
No.
But something I can't do, Half-Life Alyx, I want to play it, but I get so scared.
It's not that much of a horror. I mean, Half-Life has some horror
elements. But that's the point. I can't. And the way that resource management is, that's why I can't do Resident Evil games. No. Sure.
Well, when you come down here, we'll stream it I'll be at your place and we'll stream it together. You'll have someone there to, you know, coax you through it. And if you get too scared, we'll hop off, you know, we'll go back and forth.
Exactly. But as always, I don't know if we're going to start. Oh, do we start with this? Do we have these things? He's Ryan.
He's Braxton.
Spooky things aren't my thing, but here on the Dungeon Crawl, sometimes we have to brave what we do. And venture from, you know, spooky VR to maybe spooky D&D.
Yeah, you got to go into the dungeon and crawl through it. Leave the nice village behind. And there might be some spooky stuff out there waiting for you.
It's a bit easier when there's not two massive screens on your eyeballs, I do have to say. Or one in front of you. But I don't know. So kind of speaking in the theme of spooky things, or at least my knowledge, there's been a new... I guess it's not really rumored anymore. I think it's fully announced at this point, right? Fully announced. You fans of the big old fancy city known as a Ravenloft, you are excited, I bet. And this week, I don't know a lot about the entirety of things involved in the Curse of Strahd.
Because he already misspoke when you saw my Ravenloft, but that's neither here nor there.
Did I misspeak? What'd I do?
It's very easy, and we'll talk about this, but Ravenloft is more than just a location. It's more than just a... We'll talk about it.
Okay, see, well, good point here. I'm going to be the audience catalyst here. Ryan is the expert on this sorts of thing. This is his wheelhouse.
I love this stuff.
He does. I mean, he even ran a campaign that we've talked about in previous episodes, the first one that I was really involved with, like an altered version, homebrew version of Curse of Strahd?
Because we didn't have the time for it. I mean, Curse of Strahd, this to show my love for it, was the first adventure module I ever read for D&D. I hadn't even gotten the starter set yet, and I was just kind of looking up how to get in D&D. And I was saying, oh, there's these adventure module things. And I saw, you know, all I saw was the covers of all of them. I was like, that's a cool demon thing. Whoa, that guy looks... I love the gothic horror stuff. I mean, I love Bloodborne. Even if you take out the Lovecraftian aspect of Bloodborne, I just love how it looks. You know, it's just this gothic horror kind of vibe.
You did once say that if you took the Lovecraft gothic stuff out of Bloodborne, you wouldn't like it.
The story stuff, okay?
You said it. All right. I was flabbergasted.
I love the gothic horror aesthetic, that type of stuff. And once I saw this kind of, you know, badass, nonchalant looking... vampire dude holding this glass of wine, or maybe it's blood, who knows. I was sold. It's
probably blood.
I was sold.
So
and I picked
so
it up.
I did not know there was a connection between Ravenloft and Curse of Strahd, and I think even that in and of itself could be a spoiler for people.
No, the castle's called Castle Ravenloft.
Okay.
I changed it though in our game.
In the bastardized version. So wait, did I went there?
You've been to the castle. You've been to Castle Ravenloft, yeah.
See, it's kind of nice when your DM hides stuff, because then you don't realize you've been spoiled. I told this story before.
It's the castle you hated that had every, you're like, I'm sick of these damn doors, dude.
There's so many doors, man.
I even cut out whole floors of that place for you guys.
There's so many doors. Someone needs to rehaul doors in D&D or like figure it out. I don't know, but you got to paint a perfect picture for me.
Yeah.
Give me a 3D map as we go, and then I could probably handle it. But otherwise, it's like all I see when a DM says there's a door here, some feet and things. All it is basically a room, and every inch is a door.
I mean, there's some hallways in that castle where I remember his face where you guys were walking into it. I say, all right, about 5 feet down, there's a door to your left. Another 10 feet farther, you see a door to the left. Straight down the hallway, probably 30 feet, there's a door in front of you. You also got a door to your right, a little bit farther up. You guys are like,
we got to open it.
Like, what do you,
with D&D, if a DM says something, you want to check it out. It's like, okay, because this person has chosen to tell us a thing. So I checklist door open, open, open. And then when you open the door, the checklist gets bigger and you're just like,
yeah, you forget about the door that was farther back. So there was a particular item that I knew one of the players really wanted. So I moved it to another spot. That's neither here nor there, though. That does take place. That whole campaign, that whole module takes place within Barovia, which is a domain inside the greater world of Ravenloft.
Oh, you might get... I don't think there's going to be a ton of spoilers for Curse of Strahd. No, that kind of was
not,
one.
We're not really going to be talking much about Strahd in here for sure, because that's just a tiny... Yay. That's just a very tiny section of the greater world of Ravenloft. So this will be spoiler-free for all that Curse of Strahd stuff. And we probably won't even talk about Barovia much at all because it's covered so much over the years.
Hmm. All right. What will we be covering then?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Braxton. So Ravenloft, as we were just talking about, started off as an adventure originally. Way, way back in, I want to say like maybe first or second edition. And it was so popular that it grew into its own campaign setting. People loved this kind of dark, gothic horror stuff in their fantasy role-playing game. Curse of Strahd, what we have played and what, you know, many people love from 5th edition, is a very loose recreation of that original adventure.
It's called Strahd Loose.
Well, it's loose because the OG one was fairly linear, had a, you know, full story, and Curse of Strahd, for people that have played it, is very open world. There's lots of different places you can go and explore. The story can change and morph. So it's more basically just inspired by that old one. But Ravenloft was so popular that novels were created. I mean, there's a book called I, Strahd, which is straight from Strahd's point of view. So if you're a DM, I recommend pick up that book. Helps you get into his wheelhouse. But there's even other novels. There's about the knights that are in Ravenloft and all sorts of stuff. So it's, people love this campaign area.
Are these written by different people or are the original authors involved on this?
They're written by different authors. Similar to like how the Dragonlance campaign setting exists. And then there's a whole novel series that are created by other people that exists within Dragonlance. But it was released as a campaign setting fully in second edition. It was like a box set. You could, like how the revamped, you know, set is like a coffin and has a bunch of different things inside of it. This Ravenloft campaign setting had like three or four different books inside of it. Had like the Ravenloft module, but also had a book and a couple other things. The biggest book in there to me, and which is what has inspired this, is this new book called, we haven't talked about the title, Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, something like that. And what inspired that book is this book called Domains and Denizens from this old second edition book. And in there are these things called the Domains of Dread. They also had revamped how class abilities work and the class abilities would change within Ravenloft. So like you cast Mage Hand and instead of a Spectral Hand, it's like this bony hand, you know, they really wanted to emphasize that what happens here is very different to your other RPG stuff, which I think is probably why people love this so much, that it's such a far cry from the stuff that they were playing before this came out.
So two observations I guess I've had at this point. Mm-hmm. When we first were talking about this, I wanted to know essentially like how old the idea of this is. And you just mentioned second edition, right?
Yes.
So it's been around, right?
Yeah,
for a long time.
It's seen some reiterations, and it has basically, this campaign setting has more or less been forgotten since this big release in second edition. It's been released in small other fragments in third edition and 3.5 and fourth edition, and obviously in Curse of Strahd, but it hasn't been fully fleshed out until this new book will be coming out.
Okay, and then the second thing, speaking of forgotten, compared to Forgotten Realms and stuff like that, mm-hmm. what is Ravenloft? Because you said it's not a city, and that's genuinely what I thought it was
right
just a few moments ago. Like, what is the exact scope of it to try to give me a perspective on what it is? Like, it's a setting, is it a world, is it a location?
And that's a great question. I even have right here in my notes, now, where is this and how do we avoid this place? Because Ravenloft is not a fun place. You don't want to find yourself within the domains of Ravenloft.
Yeah, so we, like... for some reason decide not to share our notes when we do podcast stuff. So it's just working out right now.
So Ravenloft, as you said, it's not a city, it's not a place. There is Castle Ravenloft, which is where Strahd finds his place, but so it's often very confused. Ravenloft is technically is found within the ethereal plane. There's no direct passage to it, and it's built like this because you can think of this place as like a prison. Each of these domains, we'll talk about the domains of Dread in a minute, each of these domains, these areas, you can kind of think about them like separate kingdoms. Each of these kingdoms is ruled over by a Dark Lord, and all these Dark Lords have done terrible, nasty, they're terrible people, right? And they've been kept prisoner here by some crazy things called the Dark Powers, and we'll talk about those later too, because there's a whole lot to get in with that stuff. But you can think about these places like prisons to keep these bad guys locked in here. So they don't want to make it easy to get in and out. But as Braxton and I have talked about this ethereal plane before in some of our old planar episodes, the ethereal plane, the nice fun thing about this ethereal plane is that it's everywhere at all times around us. So Braxton, what does this mean? You can be whisked away to Ravenloft at any moment, at any time.
No, I don't want that.
Randomly through what's called the mists. These mists will kind of rise up, or you walk into a forest that's covered in mist and suddenly you find yourself within Barovia, which is actually one of the plot hooks in Curse of Strahd. So careful about
this. To
mists.
Me, this sounds like the Shadowfell got greedy and was like, you know what? We want to also be in the ethereal plane. So they just put the little bits and pieces in there.
Well,
why is it so similar to the Shadowfell?
I do want to, you make a very important thing. I want to, before we get any nasty emails or, you know, angry listener comments, I want to say, Braxton, you're correct. This has actually been changed. So this is all second edition lore.
Oh.
This has been changed since then. In the 5th edition Dungeon Master's Guide, it mentions that the domains of Dread are found in, quote, remote corners of the Shadowfell. So they have taken it out of the ethereal plane and have tossed it into the Shadowfell. And I'm sure that will be reflected in this book as well. I think the ethereal plane is a cool idea. That's why I brought it up and talked about where it's come from. But that's why I say it's kind of been forgotten. A lot of the lore that they created has kind of been tossed away, and they've taken what they like about it and kept things and haven't really talked about the domains since second edition either, as far as I'm aware.
So you think they're bringing them back, or is this just a convenient thing because of, you know, Strahd and the revamp thing that just happened?
I feel like it definitely needed a revamp because it's cool. It's a lot of this stuff is very interesting. We're going to talk about why these domains are so fascinating to me. But I think while they're working on revamped, they were probably like,
might as well.
Yeah, they're kind of in the headspace, right? Of Barovia. They're like, hey, this is cool. Remember a long time ago, we had all these other places also kind of inspired by horror settings. Let's just continue with that. I haven't looked at the authors for both books, but they could very well be related. I do know that they have hired like cultural consultants, and we talked about how they did that with Revamped to make sure the Visitani are, you know, culturally appropriate. They might have said, hey, we already have these guys contracted. Let's just continue and add them into Ravenloft as a bigger idea, too.
That is very, very likely, I would imagine. Okay, makes sense. It just gets my hopes up for other things. Granted, I haven't read any other of these domains, but, you know, if it's anything like anime, domains tend to be really badass and cool, and there's some fun people there and stuff to do, so I'm excited about it.
This was definitely not on my D&D bingo card.
Yeah. I want this right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I love this stuff, and it exists. You know, Kenneth actually mentioned, I think, in our Discord how he was actually about to buy the old Domains of Dread book when he saw it announced. So he's like, I guess I'll just wait. So you can go out and get it. It's on the DM's or Drive-Thru RPG. You can go pick it up for like $10, I think. The problem that you run into with these, and I can see there's making sure they're changing this for the new book, is a lot of them kind of bleed into each other. They're not super unique. It's kind of hard to digest because it's just the old second edition material. It's just very much just text, just full of text. There's a few pictures here and there, but it's not as easily accessible as it is now. And there's so many of them. they jam-packed that book with, I didn't count them all, but I feel like there's more than there are in the next one. They've confirmed there will be 30 different domains of dread in this next book. The last one, I feel like, had so many. I could be wrong. There might be the same amount, but it felt like a lot.
So Strahd has his own domain of dread. Mm-hmm. And that's an entire campaign, basically.
Yes. So I guess let's talk about the domains of dread now. Now you're confused. Sorry. About it. No, it's a good point. We haven't really covered
How big are they?
So the domains, like I said, they're demiplanes. So demiplanes are basically smaller planes. You can think of it like a demigod is not a full god. So these are not full planes. They're not like the material plane or the Shadowfell. They're kind of like pocket planes. They exist, as this has said, a part of the Ethereal plane or a part of the Shadowfell. They're kind of like in its own area. And they were created as eternal punishments for the evil creatures, the evil denizens that live here. They are technically connected between each domain. Technically, by the misty borders can connect them. I find it more interesting that they're not necessarily accessible from each other, that they're kind of like their own separate places. But the second edition book did have a full map. Like, it had a map that mapped out Ravenloft like it's a kingdom, like a continent. And each domain has a separate area you could technically just walk to. To me, it kind of removes some of the excitement out of it. But man, that's just me. So what are these? What are the domains of dread? And who are these dark lords that exist inside of them? The domains are lands of their own. Kind of like I said earlier, small little kingdoms that reflect the heart of the Dark Lord that's been trapped here. So for Strahd, you know, he's a vampire dude that's got all these bad stuff going on. Vampires are kind of like dark gothic, you know, kind of Renaissance horror dudes. So
traditionally, yeah.
And so that's why Barovia is that very traditional kind of like Transylvania kind of vibe. Each Dark Lord has its own curse that's been set upon them. And so you can think about it's a weird thing to kind of consider, because these places are terrible places. You don't want to find your place yourself here ever. You know, it's and the people that live here, the actual citizens, they're getting tortured on the daily by the Dark Lord or whatever hell monsters are running around. As bad as that is to exist here, it's almost nearly as bad as it is for the Dark Lords, too, because they are trapped here just as much as you are. Just as much as the denizens here are, and they have some curse. The curse varies between each.
I get it.
The curse varies between each Dark Lord. But the thing that is consistent is that the Lord would willingly give up everything to rid themselves of this curse. So like they hate this place that they're in. They're trapped here. And they're just gonna be the nasty bastards that they are.
I mean, that's why it's the curse of Strahd was my revelation earlier.
There you go. It's a nasty, nasty place. And they were created, and we're not going to get too much into this dark power nonsense, because honestly, the dark powers have not been explored too much. It hasn't been covered in nearly anything. I'm curious if they're even going to bring it up in this new book, because it's kind of this weird, you know, all-knowing power, the dark powers. But you can kind of think about like this malevolent force. It's neither good nor bad. It's just doing what it feels is correct, and it's powerful enough to take this bad dude and give it its own place to kind of run rampant. But it's also punishing this bad dude. But it's also punishing all the people that are stuck here. It's a weird thing to think about.
Yeah, I'm moderately confused. Maybe it's like a yin-yang thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's also used as a plot device, I would say, because that way the players can't just leave. They're trapped here, just like the Dark Lord is. The mists keep them trapped here. And it's interesting, when I was reading through the Domains of Dread book, the second edition kind of campaign setting, it talks about how the denizens of Ravenloft view the mists as like the problem for anything. If you're cutting some food at dinner time and you nick your finger, damn it, the mists got me. You know, it's this weird thing. It's like saying, oh, God just, you know, stabbed me. So they view the mists as like, they don't know what the dark powers are, but the mists are their dark powers.
You know, God always stabbing people.
Yeah, he could. You know, you never know. You never know.
That's very true. Especially in D&D, you never know. So, I mean, from my perspective on being in the Curse of Strahd, now I want to know what his curse was, first of all. But to me, the interesting thing is it didn't seem like for the longest time, like this otherworldly location where people are suffering all the time, because there were normal people. Like, it was a bit sad, and your language is like, oh, it's very gray here, and people just don't look like they're having a fun time. But, you know, that's the real world a lot of the time. The only thing that was different is anytime we tried to leave, that mist would pop us back somewhere. And we were brought there by, you know, some weird traveling van of performers. That was fun. Loved that.
But you were ultimately brought there by the mist.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose. I don't remember. It's been a long time. Now you're making me want to go back in and play it. Which is why these domains are seeming like each of them could have almost an entire campaign in them.
100%. I mean, there have been...
So I don't know how much they're going to have.
Well, there have been adventure modules placed in Ravenloft in the last few editions that have not been in a full campaign setting, but there have been ones that are separate from Barovia that have been in these other domains that do cover them a little bit more fully. Of course, they're small little adventure. They're not full-on modules. Kind of like... I think you think of them like Adventure League stuff, but not that small either. Kind of a good in between. And they exist. There are adventures that can take you through some of these domains. And this new book will also have a quest, an adventure going through it.
Hmm. Yeah. So I'm curious, because these domains, they can be big, small. It can just have the lore. What's the qualification? Like, what quantifies a domain? You've mentioned this already, but how small can they be?
There are some really small ones. They're called pockets. And there's also kind of slightly bigger ones that are clusters. The clusters, from what I can understand, take a lot of the pockets and kind of bring them all together. Mm. They're separate from Greater Ravenloft, and they do exist. It's just harder to get to them. Some of them are pretty powerful places. Vecna has been involved in a couple of these smaller pocket places. Vecna Reborn, one of the old adventures, involves one of these places. But most of them, there's this area called the Core. And I don't want to get too much into the nitty-gritty, like the map that they've given for second edition, because if I had to wager a guess, I don't think this new book will probably come with a map at all. I don't think the Greater Ravenloft map is important at all, but they separated them by... The greater core is, there's a northern core, southern, western, eastern type of stuff. And they're very randomly placed in here. Some of my favorite ones, it's not a full, it's called an Island of Terror, and it's called Blutspur. It sounds like I just threw up in my mouth. Blutspur.
Yeah, bless you.
Yeah, thank you. But it's ruled by Illithids. It's like a Mind Flayer island, and there's vampire Illithids that live in here. It's very Lovecraftian inspired island pocket demiplane. It's very cool. It's a terrifying like elder brain that rules this area, and I could see having a lot of fun in this place. It's definitely smaller in scope than some of the others, but it's badass.
This is definitely going to be in Ryan's world somewhere.
Just a whole island of Illithids.
Well, yes, you know, you're expressing some interest in it. Whenever we go on this podcast, I'm always thinking about what sorts of things you're going to torture us with in the game.
Sure.
But we'll see. So the image I get with these, being the crazy anime fan that I am,
yeah,
is it's like you've got your shonen manga like Naruto. You want to find the Akatsuki and, you know, get all of them before they gather up all the Ninetales and stuff. It's like, you need to kill all the lords in the domains in Ravenloft before you can shut down the core and
the problem,
keep everybody
though,
from like that kind of stuff.
With that thought, it's a great thought to, you know, to cleanse Ravenloft and kill these Dark Lords. The problem is, if a Dark Lord is killed, a new one can take its place and the plane continues, and the new version of the plane morphs to whatever the new Dark Lord has their heart set on.
Just get rid of all the bad people. Eventually, if you think about it, this is just like a long line that finds you all the bad guys, and you just create a spawn point like in Minecraft,
sure,
and stab them every time they come in. You probably can't do that. It's not that simple.
That's why the ultimate goal of a lot of these things, and the ultimate goal of, I'd say, a lot of good horror, is not to fight and kill the bad, scary monster. It's to get out. It's to leave. Aww. You know, a lot of the point of these demiplanes is to just get out of the area, find a way to escape. Sometimes it is kill the Dark Lord and then the mist evaporate for long enough for you to leave. But sometimes it's, you know, not that easy.
You've got me really curious as to how Curse of Strahd ends now. Like before, I was just like, okay, yeah, it was part of my campaign. Awesome. And I'm like, wait a minute. All these rules and stipulations that Ryan's bringing, I'm like, wait, now that makes things way more complicated than it actually was. Like, there's no point in just killing him. Wait, we did. But wait, is there an official person that takes place of Strahd after you, if you kill him? Is that known?
No.
Okay, cool. That would have been nice, though. So my next big question, I don't know if we can jump there, was going to be, you know, the greater Ravenloft, how it interconnects. We just jumped over that. Who the hell is the guy on the front of the new book?
Which one? The old guy?
The guy whose name is in the title.
Van Richten. That guy. He is in Curse of Strahd. He's a very important NPC. And he's there as kind of like a... You can kind of think of like a Van Helsing-like character, that he's the know-all guy of this area. He knows all the bad, scary things, and he's there to kind of help the NPC, or not to help the PCs, help the players understand what's happening. So it makes sense that he's the one that's writing this, because he knows a lot about this type of stuff.
Okay. So my thing here is, do you want to take a little bitty break before we get into kind of like, why the hell is this book coming about at all?
Yeah, we can talk about what's going to be inside the book. And I have some cool... I think a lot of stuff we're going to talk about is, you know, because Curse of Strahd is from levels 1 through 10. And so Brax was just saying, what happens when you finish the campaign? Well, generally speaking, close the book, that's it. But with this new book, you could actually probably continue it with some of the things that we're going to talk about in a minute. Stay tuned after the break, kids.
Yeah, we don't really have an official break yet. But, you know, I don't think we have a lot of news. Ryan, you can bring us into it if you want. I want somebody to get all those noises and just make an album of them and actually sample it.
Is
juice there. So if you guys have probably been paying attention, or if you zoomed through all of the episodes that we've got so far, you've probably been told about our live play many a times.
Probably.
It was at the front of this episode. I was doing a lovely intro. If you haven't checked it out yet, we do have our first episode up. Officially, the date in that intro has passed. There's about 2.5 hours within our first session. A lot of our Discord has been like, oh, this is so cool, and blah, blah, blah. It's a fun time. It's good stuff. I'm the DM. Ryan plays a cool guy with a name who I always forget, but I know it now. It's Ormano.
Yep.
Because I thought he was going to get mad. Two ends. Oregano will probably be the joke name. I think that is brought up in the episode itself. Mm-hmm. But if you're interested in something that's at least right now, it's a pretty bog standard, I would say, D&D game, but I'm hoping for like inspiration from things like Yoko Taro's games and Bloodborne and a bunch of interesting, either gothic, weird, creepy, with like some hints of hope. It's kind of the stuff that I'm aiming for. And come on. It's got to be a little bit.
That's true. It's gotta be some
hope. Then amongst the four of us, me, Ryan, Jamie, and Kenneth, we've been playing for quite some time. And for D&D, just in general. So I hope you get like a view into some people who are maybe experts, probably not, moderately qualified, as we like to say.
Yeah.
Playing D&D. It's the Dungeon Chronicles. So you can see the video for it on YouTube at the Dungeon Crawl Podcast. That's on YouTube. If you want to look up all that kind of stuff. Eventually, we will be streaming it. What date is that? March 22nd.
Should be.
March 22nd.
If everything goes to plan.
Let's keep an eye out for that. If you go on our link tree that's in the episode description itself, you can see the Twitch channel for it anywhere, just so you don't have to remember anything. You click a button, your monkey brain goes, hell yeah, and brings you to place. Of course, audio versions do also exist. That's all I got.
It's called, Ryan, what it's you called got? Once Upon an Onion Carriage, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and the second episode will be coming out in 2 days from this episode releasing.
Oh, man.
Wait, yeah, 2 days. Yeah, Tuesday and then Wednesday and then Thursday. Yeah, so every Thursday, you can tune in to the Dungeon Chronicles. That'll be a brand new episode releasing. The other exciting news that's going on is the new D&D book. I know we're talking about another D&D book that just got announced, but...
Yeah, they're dropping them.
Yeah, the one we talked about a while ago, a few months back, Candlekeep Mysteries will be releasing in just... I had it. Where'd it go? March 16th.
Whoa.
I know.
That's like...
It's coming soon. It's coming real soon. If you don't remember what that is 17 mystery-themed adventures for Dungeons and Dragons. They're making them very system agnostic, setting agnostic, and are just going to be. I realize I said system agnostic. They're at least going to be fifth edition, but setting agnostic. I think they're taking place in some of these, you know, cities and the Forgotten Realms, whatnot. But it should be easy enough to just plop them into any of your current homebrew games. They're kind of doing a few teasers on their Twitter, and so I'm just going to say a quick one here. They say, engraved cylinders contained within a book tell a gripping tale when rolled across wet clay. This adventure updates the Gripply, distant relatives to the Bullywugs, for 5th edition, and sheds some light on Gripply society. Check it out. It's a level 6 adventure, and will be in Candlekeep Mysteries.
You gotta admit, man, like, if I wrote something, and I'm aspiring to be like this, but a plot device being a tube that you have to roll in clay to see how it's written.
It's called the Book of Cylinders, baby.
That's so cool. That's how you write a little grip. Of course, they've got their best writers on this to make it. Like, I want to tell this mystery, but...
Yeah, there's a lot of authors in this, man. There's a lot of authors. Some of the big ones, they got Christopher Perkins, the guy that wrote Curse of Strahd, is coming in here. We got Mark Humes. That guy's fantastic. It's gonna be a badass book. I'm excited for us to chat about it when it releases.
Yeah, I imagine for that, when it comes out, we will probably do something like, what were your favorite mysteries or things that kind of stood out?
Unfortunately,
those sorts of things.
As always with these releases, they seem to release on our episode release date. So we probably won't be able to cover it until the following
week. Unfortunately, yeah. So ruminate on it, and then you can join the discussion of, hey, we all have it, or I'm still thinking about buying it. Let's see what the Dungeon Crawl has to say. We might and probably will bring Kenneth on there as well. Hopefully you'll learn more about who he is and what he does through his playing of Salty on the live play as well. One last thing regarding the live play. Whenever the fourth episode releases, the one after that, the fifth, is probably going to be all virtual. The episodes are coming out. We're recorded back in November. So expect a bump in audio quality because we all have our own personal mics and see a different layout as well if you're watching video format. Yeah, for audio-based, it's going to sound a little bit more crispy. So that's good. But that's all we got for news. Let's roll back into why the heck is this thing coming out if there's so much content already for it? And we brushed on, you know, they were already doing it, so maybe they're just using the freelancers they had around. Let's forget about that for a second.
Okay.
What purpose is this thing serving?
What purpose is Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft serving? Well, let me tell you. So there's going to be 30... count them, 30 domains of dread within this book, okay? Each of these domains are going to be a different flavor of horror. They talked about how each one will, if you like, you know, body horror, like The Thing, then you're going to have a domain like that. If you like zombies, there's going to be a domain like that. If you like psychological horror, you got something. Lovecraftian horror, boom, you got something. So you can pick a domain and it'll be based around some particular flavor of horror. So it's got something for literally everybody. That's what gets me the most excited. And each one will have an adventure hook that ties it into Curse of Strahd as well. And maybe not necessarily Curse of Strahd, but also tie into, you know, if you just want to toss it and get people to go to Dementaloo, then they can. But this is why I was saying this is a great kind of companion piece to Curse of Strahd, because if you finish up at level 10 and the campaign's over, you want to keep playing with your group, but you don't know where to go. Well, now you have 29 other locations to head to.
You got to wonder, and I don't know if you have this information at all, but realistically, are they targeting an average amount of content per domain? Are some really quick? That's what I'm most curious about, like how much content is involved in each, because 30 is a lot.
I will say, if it's anything off of the old book, some will definitely have a little bit more work put into them than others. But I would imagine with this new, you know, with the amount of authors and stuff and the way the 5th edition books kind of look and run now, I think they'll probably have a good chunk of knowledge and good chunk of information and quests for every single place. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I guess the analog I'm getting is these are kind of like, God, it's always going back to Skyrim, but like modded quests that you're yeeting in there, you know, and they can happen in and around and be lore friendly of the main quest. Yeah. Some are 2 hours. Some are like full blown DLC, like 12 hours.
Or they could be your main quest. I mean, so we'll talk about some. I'll talk about some of the domains for you.
How many pages is this?
I don't know.
That's a lot.
How many pages is the whole thing? I think they confirmed it's like 250 something. I'm not positive.
Oh my God.
Don't quote me on that entirely. I don't remember exactly. I think they have talked about the page size, but I am not. I'll check on Amazon real fast.
What's the price?
It's $50. Full price as usual.
But that's a lot of. I just have to. I do not understand what can be in this.
Are you skeptical?
It's got to be a lot. Or how they structure it. That's something else I'm really, really curious about.
It's actually, wow. So you can order it on Amazon right now for $30. That is,
bruh.
That is crazy. It is.
You guys get on that now. I hope that deal is still going on tomorrow when this comes out.
So they don't have the page size on here, but odds are, I want to say 250 around there. So the different domains that they've confirmed to be in here. So this is why I didn't talk about the domains too much earlier, because a lot of the same domains are in this one, but they've been reworked a tad. Dementaloo, I talked about a second ago, was in previous editions, and it's similar. It's going to be similar in this one. They did a whole live stream talking about what's going to be in the book. It's like a Feywild Shadowfell mix of a domain, of an area. Your emotions are ruling. It's very aristocratic. You can think of, you know, ghouls walking around in very nice kind of, you know, Renaissance attire.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's a very noble themed location, but, you know, obviously some bad dudes exist here. There's another one called Falkovnia. You gotta say it with a little bit of an accent. This was also in previous editions, and in the past, this one's been reworked quite a lot. In the past, it was very similar to Barovia, to Curse of Strahd stuff. Vlad Dracov ruled this area. Even just the name sounds very, similar to Sadvansidovich or whatever the hell. It was very much inspired by Dracula back then, but they've revamped this quite a lot to make it more unique to Barovia, and they've created, this is your zombie apocalypse domain. The tagline that they mentioned this, they said, what happens when your fireballs run out and the zombies keep coming? What happens when your spells, you're out of spell slots, but there's another horde of zombies on the way?
You're scaring me, stop.
This sounds really cool. And I hope that they go with this is they make you think about zombies in a different light and different way, because zombies are very common, you know, creatures.
Yes.
Not very scary, but it is scary once you start running out of resources, or if
you're saying warlocks are gonna be terrible in that domain.
Yeah, pretty much. Or, you know, Strahd zombies exist. Strahd zombies are a completely different type of zombie where body parts fall off and they also keep moving and attacking you and kind of create their own. It's some scary stuff, and I hope they use this. This does come with a lot of creatures and like a whole bestiary as well. So it's gonna be cool.
See, so what I'm thinking, based off of the like official dndwizards.com products page, they mention there's a brand new adventure.
Yes, that adventure is called House of Lament. It is going to be like a haunted house experience with about 20 pages.
So what that's making me think is the domains themselves are not adventure size.
Nope.
Maybe quest or two. Some might even just be, here's how to DM this, put whatever the hell you want in it.
Yeah, I mean, I would think about this similar to how the Eberron book exists, or the Wildemount book. How these are campaign settings. They will explain to you who rules this area, how these interact. Like, for example, one of the other domains, Kalikeri, is this Indian folklore mythology mix, and this has multiple domain lords inside of it. There's warring factions and political intrigue going on in here. So if you love political stuff, this is probably going to be your jam. If I would imagine how they would set that up, it's kind of like what you're saying, have, you know, this is how this faction works, this is how this faction works. They don't like each other. They're going to be constantly warring and fighting. And it'd be about the players trying to figure out which side would we help. Who are we? If we hate both sides because they're both evil, do we just try to help the people that live here? And how do we go about doing that. It's not. Yeah. Not, a lot of these are going to have moral quandaries. Like a
toolkit mostly.
Yeah, a toolkit
with some themes, quandaries, people, key figures. And then something that interests me that they mention is like a big selling point, like pick your choice. Do you want to use one of ours or do you want to make your own? So I'm guaranteeing there's going to be a page of make your own domain. Yes. For sure. Here's things that you can have.
They have confirmed there will be a whole section on creating your own domain and how to create your Dark Lords. I would imagine these are going to have, you know, fun ideas and tables to get you thinking outside the box. And even if you don't want to make a whole domain, this could be fun to if you want to make a kingdom with like a dark guy.
If it ends up being great, I'm going to use it for the live play for sure. This is really cool.
I think it is going to be great.
Another thing too, of course, I don't like the subclasses that much, but there are two new ones that are included in there as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about
those. The Undead Warlock and the College of Spirits Bard.
Yay.
I think they're going to be, I mean, there's also the lineages.
They fit.
The lineages are also finally getting, they just like came out on Earth.
They just came out.
But going to be getting a full rendition inside this book. It's kind of like a new race that you can adopt whenever you want. And I imagine a lot of these, like the problem I have with the lineages is they seem very, like how are these going to activate in like a normal campaign? Because this isn't going to happen too often. But if you're playing in Ravenlofts, I could see these getting brought up a lot.
A lot. Are these the Dark Gifts? No, those are the back. What are Dark Gifts?
Dark Gifts, I don't want to get into too much because there is a little Strahd stuff going on in there.
Okay.
These Dark Gifts do kind of exist inside of Curse of Strahd, but you can think of them. There's a picture that they include on one of their webpages talking about this where it has a tiefling woman with like this terrifying shadow like lingering over them. That's, you can think of the Dark Gift. That you've seen something terrible. Now there's something lingering onto you inside here that's affecting you mentally as well as physically and stat-wise. Some can give you little boons, but can also bring you down in other ways. Yeah, I think it's going to be very cool for DMs and for players.
See, if you're wanting to run like a sort of berserk sort of eclipse thing, that sounds right. I think I mentioned this before when we did the announcement last episode. This sounds just like that. So I'm interested to see if I can follow their domain rules and make like a berserk style version of that with a dark gift that is the brand, which could be really cool. So we'll see. Maybe throw a little reference to Griffith in there. I don't know. Yeah. So my biggest thing for this has been trying to just understand what the hell is in these 250 pages. Cause I don't remember, because I have the digital version, how many pages Icewind Dale was. And that's a different beast, apples to oranges for sure. But I don't know if I've ever had a book for D&D or seen one that is 250 pages.
I think most of them are.
You're kidding.
I want to say, yeah. I mean, how many pages is Icewind Dale? You don't get physical books. Icewind Dale, let me double check here. Icewind Dale, Rime of the Frost Maiden is 319
pages. Yeah. What?
What do you mean?
I read through that much?
Yeah.
No. I am flabbergasted.
Tasha's is 192.
Well, that feels right to me. That makes sense. But 300 pages? You guys got to remember, I don't read.
Curse of Strahd is 256.
That's an adventure.
I mean, this is.
Makes sense to me.
So book is going to be similar to that. I mean, let me check Eberron then. It's going to be
Eberron. I'm curious about that Eberron one.
Type experience.
I need to read these things.
You do. That's 320 pages is Eberron.
All right. You know what? My perspective is just skewed because I haven't read enough of them.
Well, you read them on your website or on D&D Beyond.
That's true, but that doesn't feel like 300 pages. It felt, it was, don't get me wrong, it was long.
Braxton, if you need anything else to sell you to pick this up, I'm gonna tell you the last. Okay. Well, if anyone else is out there, there's three other domains that have been confirmed to be in here. Vatican. Or Valachan, I don't know, man. I don't speak Barovian. It's also been in previous editions, and it's not changed too much. This one is... Actually, no, this one has been. I'm thinking of a different one. This one has been changed to be more of a... do you know the story, The Most Dangerous Game?
Yes and no. I know the title.
Okay, well, it's the story is this guy hunts people. And puts them like on an island and goes hunting them. This is very similar to that, where the Dark Lord hunts the players for sport. They talked about how there was going to be an adventuring party in this area as well. Another adventuring party that is just trying to survive just as much as your adventuring party is. And you might come head to head. You know, if you're both trying to hide out somewhere, then you might have a conflict between the two of you. And that sounds fascinating to me.
Just work together.
It's not that easy. You also got Lamordia, which is also in previous editions. And this one is heavily inspired by like Frankenstein's type stuff. Very mad science-y with golems and stuff. Very body horror inspired. Very cool. The last one they confirmed, didn't get too much into depth about, is Har Akil. Was in previous editions as well. And is very Egyptian horror with mummies, you know, pyramids, all that fun stuff. And if we're keeping score at home, pretty much everything I said was in previous editions. So I'm curious if they're going to just take those and rework them or if they're going to add completely new ones. I'm very curious. They did mention, so for you big fans of Ravenloft out there, there's this important place called Sithicus with your boy Lord Soth. Even if you don't know much of Ravenloft, you maybe have heard of Lord Soth. They've confirmed that Lord Soth is not going to be in here, which means Sithicus probably won't, but they're going to be putting Easter eggs about Lord Soth and Sithicus all over the book.
Where have I heard that name?
Lord Soth, if I can remember correctly, I think it's mentioned in a Monster Manual book because he's a Death Knight.
So I was not thinking, oh, he looks sick.
Yeah, he's pretty sick.
I was thinking of a Lovecraftian thing with Soth in the name. That's what was getting me.
Yes.
Okay, not that. That'd be cool if it was. But I'm interested to see the Lovecraft domain.
Yes, I'm very excited for that. If you like Lord Soth, there's a whole book on him that was written a long time ago. I think the only thing we haven't covered that's going to be in this new book is very important. You know, if you are doing this type of terrifying gothic horror with mummies and creepy crawlies and stuff, how do you make sure you cover it safely and make sure everyone is happy with it and comfortable? Because these can be some pretty heavy topics. They have a whole section on how to handle a horror story, how to create a safe environment. I mean, it's very good and it's important to cover. And they also cover stuff about fear and stuff in here as well. I'm curious if they're going to adapt more like madness checks and fear checks. That was all in the old editions as well. The problem with that type of stuff is, to me, it takes out a lot of the immersive aspect. Like, you'd see this weird, creepy thing, make a madness check.
Yeah, I like the madness checks if it were something you could do like under the table for the player.
Sure. A lot of the effects
and perspective everybody else
are tough to do as well. In the old edition, some of my favorite ones are if you fail a madness check, then you can possibly you can get depression. you can have the cool stuff though is you can start getting delusions. Hallucinations.
Yeah, I've had one of those in one of Kenneth's games before.
Paranoia, amnesia, very cool. And the one I found the most fascinating, they had a whole mechanic in second edition on how to get, if in very rare cases, you can get multiple personalities that are having alter egos inside your brain is starting to fragment because of the things that you're experiencing and seeing. And that seems to me very hard to RP, but also seems very cool.
See, no, I've had some ideas. Like, if shit hits the fan with me trying to save a certain person in our campaign that my character cares about, you know, maybe we got to share a head. I don't know.
I could see them avoiding this, though, because, you know, there are actual disorders in life that deal with this type of stuff.
And they don't want to make fun of them or put them in a poor light.
So I could see them, you know, avoiding this stuff. And understandably so. The problem with them avoiding them, though, then is a lot of the madness stuff that exists already for 5th edition, it's very bland and very boring. So I'd rather them just leave it out.
I guess. I mean, my perspective is I would prefer a respectful disclaimer and just do it because censorship isn't my favorite thing and there's no way to satisfy all depictions of something. I mean, as long as it's not making fun of somebody in general.
Right.
As long as the content is just, this is how it affects you.
They did say they hired a bunch of cultural experts for, you know, I mentioned there's an Egyptian inspired domain and stuff. So they've hired people to make sure everything is very culturally appropriate and accurate. So I think this has the this has the power to be a very good kind of, it's weird to call it a campaign setting because I guess it is, but there's like technically 30 different campaign settings in here because you really honestly could run a campaign in every single one of these domains.
Yep.
That could last for a while. So I'm honestly looking forward to it.
Just the description on how to handle horror might be a must buy or a must read for this.
Yeah.
So I guess in summary, like even just our first impressions on it, for me, without reading it, it's a I'm going to buy it and read it.
I agree.
Like there's no doubt.
It's
like,
something it's I not didn't a, know we, I wanted.
Those are the good kind of gifts. Like it ain't much, but it's honest.
We had a listener post in our Discord saying how they were looking forward to having like a Planescape book, and we've been talking about this for forever.
Yeah.
In the Unearth Arcana subclasses stuff that we've been covering, I would love a new Planescape book. So the covers there are Manual of the Planes. Period. But I, with that said, I do really like this, and I'm looking forward. It comes out pretty soon, May 18th. It's not too far away. It's only
my mom's
2 months.
Birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Braxton's mom.
On that day. Oh, yeah. Right. I think this, in particular, talking about that Planescape Guide to the Planes sort of book, if they do this well, it would probably be written in the same manner that this does. So it would raise my confidence on them to do it. So it's kind of testing grounds.
A good point.
We'll see what goes on.
While they're spending word count to cover 30 different domains, they could cover 10 planes in the same amount and then go into a crazy amount of detail.
Yeah. It's just like how really for us there's so many things we could talk about on the dungeon crawl itself, but really we won't run out of topics. Same thing for D&D, though they're redoing everything they've had already, whenever they're done with that. If they're not redoing redos, they can go find new stuff to talk about that they've never done before. Like, really, there's so much in D&D that they can talk about. You know, and you don't have to stay in D&D. You can go to other tabletop games like Mörkborg if you want to check. Mörkberg if you want to check that out. You can. But I'm excited that they're fleshing this sort of stuff out. And it seems like they're buckling down on 5e.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse. A lot of both mixed in throughout there. So let's jump into the end thing where I tell you about social media stuff, because I think that's about all we've got for this thing that'll come out, at least until we cover it. But that'll be a little bit.
Yeah, that'll be a hype review, everybody. So come around May 18th, baby.
Our Icewind Dale episodes, some of our most popular stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And Ken is on there too. And it's always a good time when he's there. So if you want to chat with us on Instagram or wherever the hell, Twitter as well, it's at Dungeon Crawl Pod. If you're looking for us on YouTube, where the video form of this shall be, if you're using your ear holes currently and you want to see what we look like, jump over and do a little search in the search thing, the Dungeon Crawl Podcast. You've got the live play on there, as well as this thing right now that's going on. The Dungeon Crawl and the Dungeon Chronicles are housed in those places. If you want to talk to us longer form, as I say, the more boring and complicated thing, but you can do some fun stuff with HTML5. Let me tell you, email thedungeoncrawlpod@gmail.com is the way to go for that. We do also have a Discord in our link tree. Join the discussion. We have anime nights where we watch a lot of fun things. Come on, Ryan, I'm done.
It sounds like something you would say like at the first day you're hanging out with this person you just met. Like, man, and let me tell you, there's some sick shit you can do with HTML5, man.
I mean, if you are really targeted dating right now and you know they're into it, done. Sold.
Okay.
They get me.
All right.
What do you got? What do you say on your date?
Welcome, welcome. The name is Strad. Please head over to my domain of dread and rate me 5 stars on the iTunes.
Strahd had to leave. But he's super excited for you to go over to his Domain of Dread on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and find the Dungeon Crawl Podcast. And hell, while you're there, go to the Dungeon Chronicles too and rate us 5 stars. Write a little review saying how much you enjoy the podcast.
Say how much you love Strahd.
And it really helps us out in the long run.
Arnold Schwarzenegger in there. Eventually, we'll be releasing the dungeon dog food, a whole line of the dungeon products. Eventually, we'll see what
that'd
goes
be
on
cool. I mean, what you say is that you're the dungeon.
Crawl.
Nope. Just you're the dungeon.
You're the dungeon.
Can you imagine, out of context, if you're just walking around and say, man, it's the you're the dungeon, people are going to think you have a dungeon in your apartment, like keeping people prisoner. That's not a good thing.
been building it for 3 years now. Finally ready. Join me in there and have the experience. An escape room. We could do that too.
What?
That's fun.
Escape room themed dungeon crawl?
Maybe. That's basically D&D. How do we get out of this campaign? It's some giant escape room. You guys should try. If you are a listener of this podcast and you enjoy Kenneth, can you tell him to stream? He's thinking about streaming, and we're like, just do it on the dungeon, whatever we have on Twitch, whatever it's called. What is it called, Ryan?
The Dungeon Crawl Network. Dungeon.
Yeah, that's it. That's the thing.
Or make his own account and get popular in there and say he's never going to talk to us again. So,
you know, it's whatever. He's a fun guy. Tell him to do that if you care about us.
I'd upgrade the internet first, so we don't know.
He probably would have to upgrade. He's got a 3080. You know who doesn't?
Like 90% of the world.
He's Ryan.
He's Braxton.
This is the Dungeon Crawl. As always, thanks for calling with us, guys.
Who knows what we're talking about next week, man? Who knows? But it's going to be good stuff. Oh, yeah. Braxton might know what we're talking about next week. At least we're thinking about doing something role-playing related. So,
yeah, using my theater background on that stuff. Good times are to be had ahead. Thanks always for listening. Always. Forever. Goodbye.
Peace.